Welcome back, everyone. The Braves just got off an awesome stretch in away and home stretch to where now they have the best record in the National League and Major League, as well as lead the league in run differential at the time of this recording. It's going to be a lot of fun today. We're going to talk about which players have been lucky and which players have been unlucky, and there's a way to look at this. So we're going to break it down today. Are you ready? Let's go. Alright, so before we get started, I wanted to say something, since I want to make sure that the numbers and everything are as accurate as possible. Is I want to point out that, as most of you know, anyone that listens to podcasts probably understand that a lot of times episodes are recorded a few days, or in some cases, depending on the episode, a few weeks ahead of time. That being said, this episode was recorded right before Travis d'Arnaud had his home run barrage. Okay, so Travis d'Arnaud is one of the players we're going to talk about. And in fact, it actually works out in a sense of it shows how these numbers can be true that we're going to talk about. But just know that when we talk about Travis d'Arnaud today, it is before he had the 3-home run performance, followed by another home run in the following game. Okay, so just wanted to point that out. All right, let's get started. Okay, so you're going to hear the term luck. Some people believe there's no such thing as luck, what have you. But when I say luck, I'm talking about based on a hitter, how they're swinging, or a pitcher, how they're pitching, their expected numbers based on that versus what their actual outcome is. Their actual outcome is what truly matters. However, you can look at things like batting average of balls in play, launch angle, max exit velocity, strand rate, meaning how many runners have been left on base, if it's well above average or well below average, and things like that. And you can determine, okay, this player is primed to break out of their slump, or they're primed to get better, or it could be the opposite, that in fact they're far overperforming what their on-field numbers show. Not to take anything away from them by any means, but what that means is that over time, you're going to see their numbers regress to the mean, meaning that their numbers will come back closer to what their expectancy stats happened. There's enough data out there that proves that this is the case. For example, Orlando Arcia, with his awesome batting average right now, probably not going to happen. Or you got guys, you know, with an ERA sub 1, the odds of that happening all year long are extremely low. And a lot of that is just simple math of the odds are low of it happening, but also their expectancy stats probably show that their numbers are going to regress a little bit based on how they're pitching, because on average, well, more than on average, a majority of the time, stuff like this doesn't happen. If you got a guy pitching sub 1 ERA for an entire season, you know, things like that. But we can look at a few different statistics. And what I want to do is, for time's sake, is I want to look at pretty much the entire Braves roster and look at, well, I should say the entire Braves regulars, players that start most of the time, including platoons, and see which players have been lucky, which players have been unlucky. And we're going to stick with hitters. We're going to look with expected weighted on-base average versus their weighted on-base average. And the reason I like to look at that is on-base average is a better version of OPS. So OPS factors in on-base plus slugging. And you can look at OPS plus, which I like using a lot because it's straight to the point. If you've got an OPS plus of 120, you're 20% better than league average, when you factor in ballparks and things like that. But OBA, on-base average, it's not as straight to the point. You can't just look at expected weighted on-base average and be like, oh, this player is performing 15% better than league average. You can pull up the league average expected weighted on-base average and then do the math that way. It takes a little bit longer. However, what you can use on-base average for is looking at your weighted on-base average versus your expected weighted on-base average. Again, on-base average, just to keep things a little bit short, is a more in-depth and better version of OPS Plus because it looks deeper, okay, at things like it weights walks better, it weights hits a little bit better, okay? But anyways, let's dig into it. Travis d'Arnaud is the first one on the list. His weighted on-base average is a 403, and his expected weighted on-base average is a 420. He's really turned things around this year. His expected weighted on-base average is in the top 95%. And what that means is only 5% of players are hitting better than him in that category. His expected batting average is in the top 19%. You know, he's been hitting the ball well. He has been swinging and missing a lot, but that's okay. Either way, look for Travis d'Arnaud to break out soon. Okay, he should be breaking out soon. Of course, with catchers, it's hard to tell because, you know, they don't play every single day. But I have this feeling that Travis d'Arnaud is going to do some things great here soon, at least by his standards. Adam Duvall has been really unlucky. In fact, his expected weighted on-base average is about 60 points higher than his actual weighted on-base average. He's got a weighted on-base average of 293 and an expected weighted on-base average of 357, which is really unfortunate. Of course, he's a platoon player, right? So he's not playing all the time, but his expected weighted on-base average is in the top 30% of Major League Baseball, and we're not seeing it. You know, his overall stats right now, he's got a batting average of 200 with only one home run and an OPS of 693. Definitely look for Duvall's numbers to take an uptick here soon. He could swing the bat exactly the same way he's swinging it right now, and you're going to see that his offense is going to take off. In fact, his barrel percentage of 19% is the best in Major League Baseball. He's not a qualified hitter because he hasn't hit enough, but if he were, he would have the best barrel percentage in Major League Baseball. And what that means is when he hits the ball, the expected batting average when the ball comes off the bat. Well, what I mean by that is more specifically, if the expected batting average, the percentage of times the expected batting average of the ball coming off the bat is over 500. What that means is in a batted ball event, historically, a ball hit in the same manner would result in a batting average of 500 or better, and a 1500 slugging percentage or better. So balls that are hit extremely well. And his 19% is the highest in Major League Baseball. So look for Adam Duvall to break out here soon. An unfortunate trend here now is you're not going to see a lot of hitters in the unlucky category, unfortunately, which stinks because the Braves, yeah, they're doing great offensively, but it's been mostly because of a handful of people. So you'd hate to see that there's been a lot of people that are actually lucky. So let's dig into some pitchers that have been unlucky. I think you could have guessed this one already. Max Fried's 7.71 ERA is bound to go down. One, we know it's Max Fried and that he can work on it and get better, but his expected ERA is a full 2.75 runs lower. His expected ERA is a 4.94. So, yes, he has been unlucky, but an expected ERA of 4.94 with the way that he's been pitching is not something you want out of your ace, especially when his expected ERA is in the bottom 27% of Major League Baseball. And that's been because people have been hitting the ball really well. against him. And not as in, like, facing him really well. Like, when they make contact, the contact's been good, right? And their expected batting average against him is a 287. That is the bottom 17% of the league. And his strikeout rate of 15% is in the bottom 13% of the league. That's not a good recipe for success. However, he has been unlucky. His expected ERA is closer to a 5 than it is close to an 8. Next is Charlie Morton, who's actually pitched a lot better this year than he has last year. Yet you've always got those random fans on Facebook that just hate Charlie Morton because they don't understand that the going rate for Charlie Morton's talent is $20 million a year. They can't grasp it, so therefore they don't like that someone is making more money than them. So they hate on Charlie Morton, I guess. I don't know. I don't get it. I'll never understand the Charlie Morton hate. And he's 40 years old and he's still producing at an elite level. But either way, his expected ERA is in the top 35% of Major League Baseball. I should say best 35% in Major League Baseball at 3.4. And his expected batting average against him is only a 213, which is in the best 26% of Major League Baseball. Players are also not hitting the ball hard against him either. Their average exit velocity against him is the best 23% of Major League Baseball, and hard hit percentage best 18%, and that has equated to his 4.7 ERA being much worse than his expected ERA, which is 3.4. If he continues to pitch the way that he's pitching every single time he goes out there, you can expect his ERA to drop by quite a bit. Another good sign from him before we move on is that his walk rate has dropped by over 1%. 1%, you know, doesn't seem massive, but it's still good to see that his walk rate is dropping because that's one thing that really hurt him last year. Chris Sale is a really interesting one, okay? And we could spend an entire episode talking about him because he's kind of an enigma this year in a sense that his expected ERA is a 3.6 when his ERA is 4.38, meaning that from an ERA standpoint, that he has been unlucky. We can expect his ERA to go down. However, if you look at his weighted on-base average against him versus his expected weighted on-base average against him, hitters have been getting a bit unlucky against him. So he's like right here, he's right in the sweet spot to where his ERA should drop, but hitters still are showing that they have been a bit unlucky against him. So it's going to be interesting to see how things happen with Chris Sale. His average exit velocity has been fantastic, best 8% in the league, but what's been really great and what a lot of people might not know is that players chase rate against him, meaning they swing at bad pitch or pitches outside of the zone, is a 38.9%. Only 2% of major leaguers are doing better than that. When you've got pitcher or hitters swinging at your pitches outside of the zone almost 40% of the time, that gives you a lot of room to throw around the strike zone and be effective. Even when the pitches aren't actually strikes to begin with, that gives you a lot of room for messing around and trying different things, but also room for quote-unquote error, even though sometimes you are making hitters swing at those pitches on purpose. Well, I guess I should say you always want hitters to swing and miss, but you are throwing pitches outside of the zone on purpose is what I should have said. The next one is really fun, and I think he honestly is one of the most underrated pitchers in Major League Baseball, and that's AJ Minter. At the time of this recording, he had an ERA of 2.57, and as we know, ERAs can be extremely volatile with relief pitchers, and this is the case with AJ Minter, because at the time of this recording, his expected ERA is a 0.81. So that's the best in Major League Baseball, and somehow he's got an expected ERA that is almost two runs lower than his actual ERA, and his actual ERA is still really good. So AJ Minter, look for his ERA to drop if he continues to pitch the way that he's pitching. I'm really excited to see that. The unfortunate thing is I don't think the Braves are going to be able to afford him once he hits free agency. He has been a top setup man in Major League Baseball for years. He doesn't get a lot of media attention because he is not a closer. And the few times that he was closing, for whatever reason, he doesn't have that closer gene. But when he's in the 7th or 8th inning, there's no one better. Tyler Matzek is another one like Max Fried where he's been unlucky. His expected ERA is a 5.31 when his ERA is a 6.43. Although, a 5.31 is not good. So if he was to continue to pitch exactly like he is, expect his ERA to drop. However, his underlying metrics are really bad. You know, I encourage you to go on StatCast, look at players. Don't just look at the top MLB percentage rankings. You know, if you understand StatCast, really get in and dig into it. But from an overarching or a high-level view, you can look at those percentile rankings. Red is good. Blue is bad. You see a sea of blue with Tyler Matzek. Almost all of his underlying metrics are bad. The only thing that is good is his strikeout rate and his walk rate. Everything else is bad. His expected ERA, his expected batting average, his chase percentage, his whiff percentage, his ground ball percentage, barrel percentage, hard hit percentage, all that stuff is all really, really bad. So I don't think that unless Tyler Matzek can really turn things around, he might lose his spot eventually. However, it is interesting to say that he still has been technically unlucky. His ERA is much higher than his expected ERA. Pierce Johnson, who was absolutely elite in a Braves uniform last year, is having a bit of bad luck this year as well. With a ground ball percentage at 63%, which is only 4% of major leaguers are better than that, and a chase percentage of 34.1%, which is in the top 12%, we should not be seeing an ERA of 3.72, and the expected ERA shows it. He has an expected ERA of 3.23, so expect for Pierce Johnson's ERA to drop as well. He's been really, really good this year, and although a 3.72 is not terrible, you want to see better from a relief pitcher, and if he continues to pitch the same way he is right now, we can expect his ERA to drop. You want to know something crazy? Joe Jimenez falls in the unlucky category. Even though he has a pristine ERA of 1.00, his expected ERA is a 0.93, and the only person that is better in Major League Baseball is AJ Minter. Imagine having that bullpen. Joe Jimenez, AJ Minter, Raisel Iglesias. You know, to close it out, the Braves have a solid ERA this year. Remember how I said Tyler Matzek is a sea of blue? Go look at Joe Jimenez's StatCast. It's a sea of red. Out of every single category, the only thing that's not in the red, that's not in like dark red, the darker the red, the better, is his fastball velocity. That's it. And that doesn't even really matter if everything else is red. So he's been absolutely elite, and his expected ERA is actually lower than his ERA of 1. So look for him to continue to dominate if he continues to pitch the way he is. Excellent trade by the Braves. You know, the guy that they traded, Henry Molloy, he's doing well in the minors. I wouldn't be shocked to see if he makes the Major League roster here soon, and I hope that he does. I hope best things for him, but fantastic trade by the Braves. Aaron Bummer is again having an unlucky season. His expected ERA, like Tyler Matzek and Max Fried, is still high at 5.48. However, his ERA is a 6.75, and he has the best ground ball rate in Major League Baseball. So, he's a ground ball pitcher doing his thing, but his ERA is high. So, he's going to have to figure things out because, yes, his ground ball rate is working, but everything else is not. So, Aaron Bummer, unfortunately, he's being unlucky and he's not pitching well at the same time. So he's going to have to turn things around, you know, if he's going to be effective. Of course, again, people like to hate on this trade because they didn't like to see Mike Soroka go. But do yourself a favor and go look at Mike Soroka's numbers and some of the other guys that the Braves traded in the White Sox deal. It's not like the Braves gave up something good and got something bad. Let's just put it like that. I don't want to trash other guys. Injuries suck. I hate it for Mike Soroka, but it's not like the Braves actually made a bad trade here, is what I'm getting at. All right, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to look at players that have, unfortunately for us Braves fans, have been lucky, meaning that they're quote-unquote overperforming, and some of them may shock you. The first one on the list, and the one that I hate to say, but it's true, is Ronald Acuña. You know, he's definitely struggling this year. Let's be straight up, though. It's struggling by his standards, okay? And that's Ronald Acuña. And it's because even though his expected weighted on-base average is still in the top 23% of Major League Baseball, let's be clear about that, he still is overperforming, if you will. He's actually been lucky this year. His expected weighted on-base average is 361, but his weighted on-base average is a 375. And what that means is over time, if he continues to hit or swing the bat the way that he is, that we might actually see a drop-off in production. And his biggest issue, in my opinion, is the fact that his barrel percentage is just at 5.5%. So he's not making, and his sweet spot percentage is only 30.9. And what that really means is he's not making solid contact when he hits the ball. When he makes contact with the ball, it's not the solid contact that it used to be. For example, last year, his barrel percentage was in the top 7% of MLB, and this year it's in the bottom 33%. Next guy on the list is Ozzie Albies. His expected weighted on-base average is a 344, which for him is actually really good. It would be the second best of his career since 2019. So again, don't take this as he's doing terrible or anything like that. But with his weighted on-base average being a 391, we should expect to see his production drop some, meaning he has been lucky so far this year in terms of with the bat. Hopefully we see him back soon from injury. Latest I saw is that he could be back at the end of April, so hopefully that's still the case. Next, as we go down this list, I'm a little worried, and you'll see why. Next, we got Austin Riley. His expected weighted on-base average is a 324, but his weighted on-base average is a 341. Again, another player in the core of the Braves lineup that is actually overperforming. In this case, though, with Austin Riley, his on-field performance has not been good either with the bat. So, yeah, his weighted on-base average is his lowest since 2020. Yet, he's overperforming, so that's not a good sign for him. Next on the list is Michael Harris. His weighted on-base average is 354, with his expected weighted on-base average being 330. Showing, again, another player on the Braves offense that their performance, they have been outperforming their underlying metrics, meaning they've been a bit lucky. Of course, that's okay. Michael Harris's 330 expected weighted on-base average is just barely lower than his 2022 numbers, his Rookie of the Year numbers. However, back then, he actually got extremely lucky in 2022. His weighted on-base average was one of the best in the league. And, well, I should say one of the best. Either way, Michael Harris, you know, he's this year mostly been batting sixth. So it's not a huge deal, and his defense is awesome, so it's no big deal. But still, it is sad to see another Braves player that has been outperforming their underlying metrics. The luckiest player on the team, and this seemed to happen early last season as well, is Orlando Arcia. His weighted on-base average is a full 107 points higher than his expected weighted on-base average. His 377 is much higher than his 270. 270 is not good. Let's just put it lightly, or just to be blunt, his expected weighted on-base average is in the bottom 15% of Major League Baseball, and his expected batting average is in the bottom 31%. So we should see Orlando Arcia's numbers drop off real soon if he starts hitting the way that he is. That's not a takeaway, again, that what he's done so far this year is awesome that he's done it, but just don't expect it to continue, is all I'm saying, unless he can make an adjustment at the plate. Another player that shouldn't come as a shock because they started off so hot was Jared Kelnick. His weighted on-base average is a 363, and his expected weighted on-base average is a 327. So even though 327 is not bad, in fact, a 327 would still be in the top 39% of Major League Baseball, and his expected batting average is in the top 29%. We should not expect his high batting average to continue. However, again, this is the number 8, number 9 hitter for the Braves, depending on the lineup that goes out there, so it's not that big of a deal, but just wanted to point it out, of course. Next, let's talk about some pitchers. You know, one pitcher that could have been pretty obvious is that there's no way that Ronaldo Lopez is going to keep his ERA below 1. So that one was pretty obvious there. However, his expected ERA of 2.59 is still excellent. So again, he's been lucky, but I'm still happy to see a number 5 starter. I guess now with Strider being hurt, he'd be the number 4 starter. But someone that was brought in to be the 5th starter that we didn't even know was going to 100% be a starter when he was picked up, performing so well. Okay, and next I want to talk about Dylan Lee. Much of the same. A guy has a sub 1 ERA. He has a 0.87. He's got an expected ERA of 3.11. Relief pitchers, very, very volatile with their ERA. So we can expect Dylan Lee's ERA to get higher. Still, though, an expected ERA of 3.11 is still really good. It's in the top 30% of Major League Baseball. So nothing to worry about. Just don't expect him to be that elite and preventing runs for much longer. He's going to give up a run here and there, here soon probably. Next is the Braves closer, Raisel Iglesias. He's still, much like Dylan Lee, he has not been as elite as Dylan Lee, but he does have an ERA of 2.16, but his expected ERA is a 3.22. Not ideal for a closer, but it's still really good, so I'm not worried about it. Just, I wanted to point out that his expected ERA is a full run higher than his actual ERA, so that's just something to monitor. Just keep an eye on that. He's still really, really good. The Braves have an excellent bullpen. His expected ERA is still in the top 32% of Major League Baseball. Too bad AJ Minter isn't as good in the closer role, because that's who I'd want to see there if he could actually handle the closer role, but it appears based on history that he can't. But Iglesias is still one of the better closers in Major League Baseball, so who cares really? He's performing really well. And finally, the last guy I want to talk about that's been a bit fortunate, and you probably could have guessed this based on when he puts on a Braves uniform, all of a sudden he becomes magic. For whatever reason, putting on that uniform, even at age 40, he still is able to prevent runs, and you guessed it, it's Jesse Chavez. His expected ERA of 3.34, which is still good, by the way, is much higher than his actual ERA of 1.93. I will say this, though. It is really impressive to see a guy that at one point had an expected ERA of 7.04 in 2020 and 5.16 in a full season in 2019 currently has the second best expected ERA of his career right now. Of course, this is since 2015 when they started tracking expected ERA on StatCast, and he's been in the league much longer than that. But still, it's impressive to see. That's for certain. So if you've seen a trend here, you've seen that for the most part, the offense has been lucky and the pitching has been unlucky. The first segment of the show, we saw that most of the players were pitchers in the quote-unquote unlucky section, and it was mostly hitters in the quote-unquote lucky section. So we see a trend here. The pitching should get better. The offense is probably going to regress some. But if you noticed, I didn't talk about Matt Olson and Marcell Ozuna until now. I wanted to leave with some hope on the offensive side of the ball. There's no doubt Matt Olson has been struggling by his standards at the plate. He is not performing nearly as well as he was last year. However, I wanted to leave you with some good news that his expected weighted on-base average of 368 is 20 points higher than his current weighted on-base average of .348, which honestly is still good, but his expected weighted on-base average is in the top 21% of Major League Baseball. His average exit velocity is in the top 3%. His barrel percentage, which I highly suggest for those of you that dig into underlying metrics, focus on the sweet spot and the barrel percentage, okay? That is quality contact. His barrel percentage is in the top 10%. So if you're hitting the ball extremely hard and you're making solid contact with it, his hard hit percentage is in the top 3%. His barrel percentage is in the top 10. And his average exit velocity is in the top 3%. And his walk percentage is in the top 18%. So once he starts making more contact with the ball, it's going to do things, okay? He just needs to stop swinging and missing so much. If he can lay off on some of these bad pitches, we're going to see him start to get a lot more hits and perform a lot more, okay? There's hope on the horizon for Matt Olson. Now, Marcell Ozuna, what a season he has had so far. In fact, you may have guessed it, but I'm not sure if you did. His expected weighted on-base average is a .521. Almost every expected weighted on-base average you've heard me talk about today has been in the 300s. His is .521, and his expected batting average is a .389, and his expected slugging percentage is an .810. If you didn't guess it by now, all three of those are the top in Major League Baseball. Yes, Marcell Ozuna is right now, with his expectancy stats, is the best hitter in Major League Baseball so far this season. So yes, there have been a lot of players that have been lucky or overperformed, right, on the Braves offense. But Matt Olson and Marcell Ozuna show us that there's some hope that the Braves can continue to score. Yes, what's even crazier about Marcell Ozuna is that his expected weighted on-base average is higher than his actual weighted on-base percentage. That's crazy to me. That means that Ozuna, as hot as he's been, has actually been unlucky. So, Marcell Ozuna, we could see even more home runs from him. We should see even more hits from him if he continues to swing the bat like he has been doing. It's been truly impressive. I can't believe it. So I'm really excited about that. So the Braves, yes, their offense as a whole, what's keeping them going is they're so deep. So when you know, guys like Austin Riley are not performing, other guys like Orlando Arcia, Travis d'Arnaud, and others come through, Jerry Kelnick. So it's going to be, I mean, the Braves are going to be fine offensively. But I just wanted to take this time in the season, as we're still early on, and kind of show you where the Braves lineup and pitching is at as far as expectancy stats go. All right, that's this week's episode. Thank you so much for joining in once again. Don't forget to like the show and share it. Leave a 5-star rating on Apple if you have not done so already. It really helps the show out. We have a Facebook page, a Twitter. It should be easy to find. Just search Braves Dugout Podcast. The page, Facebook page has been blowing up like crazy, so thank you for that. And if you want to email the show for business inquiries, the email is bravesdugout@gmail.com. We have a website. All that stuff is in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining. I'm really excited for this season. The Phillies are not giving up, but the Braves are still doing well. So it's been a lot of fun. As always, go Braves. See you next week.